Welcome to the Drama Dialogues, Life and Relationships Unraveled. I'm Jenny and I'm here to empower you on an exhilarating journey. Together we'll navigate the twists and turns of everyday dramas with practical tips and engaging stories so you can have a powerful day every day. Get ready to embrace healthier relationships, effective communication and personal growth. Join me as we unravel the mysteries of life's dramas and share a few laughs along the way. Get ready to ditch the chaos and embrace the magic. This is the Drama Dialogues. Hello, everybody. Today I've got a really special guest. It's someone that I see at 6 a.m. most mornings. I'm not going to say every morning, and sometimes it's a bit later. But Sigourney Gates is here. She is the owner of Breedon Health and Wellness kind of gym and the spa at Breedon Priory. And I should say award-winning. You've swept like a clean sweep this year for awards.
It's been a really good year. I mean, what are we now? 3 years? Are we 3 years in now, I think? With the spa, yeah. We're really chuffed with those awards. It was a good year.
It deserves it. It's my favourite place. I'm sure lots of my listeners have heard me go on about it on our spa days because I do talk about it occasionally. We love going there and we were only there 2 weeks ago. But yes, we see you in the morning and I love watching your workouts. They're so, they were entertaining, fascinating. I don't know. They're just different. I go and I go, right, I know how to use that machine. So I'll use that machine and I know how to do that. So I'll do that. And you're going along and you're doing all these weight things. Everything looks really cool.
Well, I'm glad it looks cool. It sometimes doesn't feel cool. I absolutely love it. I love that the early morning session. And I think that you guys have, like, you know, you've really established that routine now, haven't you? You're in, you know, a fair few times a week now, aren't you? In fact, notice it if you're not there. I do notice now.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
We joined almost exactly a year ago. So I was a member for 3 years maybe, and I was a member all through COVID, and the gym was, we'll talk about that a bit later, but you know, it was a difficult time. So I was a member all through COVID and then for a bit after, and then all of a sudden I couldn't make any of the classes because I did all classes, and all of a sudden I couldn't make any. So I did, after about 6 months I thought, right, I'm gonna cancel it, I'm just gonna go for walks. And then me and Matt decided last January we were both going to join together. And that has made a huge difference doing it together. And we've had times, as you know, where we've had to step away for a few weeks because, you know, we went on holiday. So people go on holiday. We had a lot of drama going on. So then you end up and you breaking that cycle is so easy.
So easy. It's so hard to... I mean, I have this conversation quite often. I don't know if you see sometimes in the morning, you know, it's so hard to kind of maintain that discipline. And it is a discipline, isn't it, to come? Yeah. It's so easy. You can make an excuse. Anything can happen. Life can get in the way. But I've noticed how consistent you two have been. And I think that if you look around at that time in the morning, it tends to be the same faces, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we all know that, although sometimes it's hard, it's dark, it's cold, we're a bit tired, we know that once we've stepped through the door and we've done it, you just feel so much better, don't you? You have a much more positive mindset, you feel better for the day. I'm a huge advocate of exercising first thing in the morning. I mean, my husband, he can't believe it. He still can't believe it. Every time I go, it's not for him at all. Whereas for me, I love it.
But Tom does work alongside you in the gym, doesn't he? He's got a role in the gym.
Yeah, he does. So he we opened the gym now 13 years ago, it will be. And it's absolutely flown by. So when we first opened the gym, Tom was actually working at Rolls-Royce. And he was working long hours there. I was doing long hours at the gym. And then we had our first child, our son, and we kind of had a conversation to say, well, if you're going to be working all these hours, and obviously I was too, but I had reduced slightly by then, we were hardly seeing each other and he wasn't seeing Harry either. So we had a conversation and that's when it was decided that he would, he'd leave Rolls Royce and come and work at the gym with me. And it's been, I mean, he's not here to offer his opinion, but it's been really good. You know, we've it really helps with the balance of things. He does his exercise in the afternoon. He's always been an exercise like an afternoon exerciser. So yeah, we're with each other a lot of the time, which a lot of my friends, they say, I don't know how you do it, but it works for us. It works.
I hear that a lot as well, and me and Matt, it sorry, it works for us. We love it.
Yeah, I
You know,
absolutely love
for
it.
us,
Yeah.
I can't imagine anything else now. And I love the fact, actually, Melbourne's got quite a lot of couples that work together.
It has. Yeah, if you think about it, it has. Yeah. I mean,
Pink's
I
Boutique,
can't.
who supply your
Absolutely.
products.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Luke and Kirsty. Yeah. And I think they've done it for a long time as well, actually.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. So it does work, listeners. Sometimes working with your other half is not like, for me, it always shocks me when people go, "Oh my God, how can you do that? Like, how could you be around your partner?" I'm like, "Well, this is a person I've chose to spend my life with." And what happens is quite often they'll get to older age and retire, and all of a sudden they're thrust together every day because they're retired. And they're like, "Whoa,
Whoa, this is
we're not going to
different,
have
yeah.
that, are we?"
It's funny, you know, if I've had a day where kind of I'm in meetings or whatever, and Tom's got his own agenda and we don't see each other all day, I'll get home and I'll say, actually, I've missed you today, you know. Whereas actually, that's most people's normal working day, isn't it? Whereas to
Yeah.
us, it's strange when we don't see each other.
So what, let's go right back. Were you always into fitness growing up?
Always into fitness, so I started exercising. You know, at the age before you can join a gym. I'd go for runs and that sort of thing. Don't particularly know what got me into it, because obviously, you know, a teenage girl, like that kind of age, it's a tricky age, isn't it? You know, there's a lot. I speak to a lot of members about their daughters. They're going through that kind of body confidence stage, and they kind of want to exercise, but then is it cool to exercise? You know, they're in that kind. So I don't really know what kind of made me start. But then, funnily enough, I actually the first gym I ever joined was Breedham.
Oh,
So
cool.
yeah, so I've always been at this gym, and it's actually the only place that I've ever worked. Or I seem to have spent a lot of my life there. So I started as a member at the gym, exercising there, and then I gradually got into weight training. I used a personal trainer for quite a few years, and that was really helpful. You know, when I went in, I was like a lot of other people went in, and I thought, I don't know what to do. So that was really good. That gave me a lot of pointers, a lot of structure. And then I've just not stopped. So even when I've been had the children, I remember when I was pregnant with Evie. So she's 3 now, just over 3. I had a bit of a difficult pregnancy, and I was told halfway through, you need to stop exercising now. And I thought, oh, I don't know a life without exercise. It was very, very strange. But yeah, I absolutely love it. I can't think of a reason why I started it. But it's just a huge part of my life now.
Yeah, I was completely the opposite. Hated PE with a passion. And the hilarious thing is, I found my diary from 1993, and Pete, that's I was like 14,
Wow.
15, and
But that was
PE.
interesting reading.
Oh, it's hilarious. PE features a lot as a part of ruining my whole day.
Oh wow. So if you had that in your schedule, it that would yeah.
It's like day was going okay until I had PE.
Until I had PE, yeah.
Had PE today. So I always really hated exercise. Like the thought of me going to the gym was a ridiculous notion, really. And the thing that got me to Breedon was my dad. So my dad, as you know my dad well, you know my whole family well. We're all members, really.
That's true, that's true.
But my dad was going to Pilates and he was in his 70s, and we had sort of lost some connection with each other. And I thought, oh, this is a really good thing for us to do together. So I went to Pilates with him, which was a big mistake, really. We did Pilates together for about 4 years because he was so much better than me. It was like he's really competitive and I'm not. So it was like, right, got to plank as long as possible. And you'd
I
see him kind
can,
of like,
yeah.
oh my God, dad's going to have a heart attack. And I'm next to him, having given up like minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh,
Dad,
that's great.
stop. So he was the one that got me into Breedon as a gym. And the thing that I loved about it as a gym was that I was quite often the youngest by a few decades. And I really, really loved it because it kind of gave me a confidence to not have to worry, but also competing with my older dad.
Yes.
but to not have to worry about my body image and the way I looked and all of that kind of stuff. So what would you say to people sat at home listening to this, going, oh, the idea of going to a gym is just too difficult?
I think, you know, it's so common that feeling. And yeah, the number of conversations I have with people, I think, and it's so easy for me to say, but I think the big thing to always remember is a lot of people in the gym, they don't notice. They don't notice if you're doing something a little bit strange, or you know, if you come in and they can tell that you're a beginner. A lot of it is just getting through the door. And once you're through the door and you're in the right environment, and actually I think that is really important, choosing the right gym for you. So try a few different gyms, see where you feel most comfortable. We're really lucky at the gym, and it's something that I've always worked on and really encouraged, is we really push this sense of community. And try and if you look at the classes, and if you look at those on the gym floor, people naturally just tend to migrate together. But they're of all different ages, of different backgrounds, of, you know, different interests, but they've all got that common interest there at the gym. And I think that a lot of it, once you're through that door and you think, actually, do you know what, it's not that bad, you
It
know.
never, it isn't.
It never is it, you
No.
know. But a lot of it is finding the right place. You know, we as a club, we do try and you know, we are targeting quite, if you look at the membership base, it is quite varied.
It
We're
is,
not
and it's getting younger
very
as
varied.
well, I've noticed. Like this last 6 months, I've noticed a lot more younger people coming in. And I went in the other
Yes.
day and I was next to one of my younger daughter's male friends. And I thought, do I say hi? Do I not say? So I didn't. I just got up. We were literally machine next to each other. And I
Yeah.
kind of look over. Neither of us really acknowledged each other. We just got on with our stuff. But it
Yeah.
was quite weird kind of being on in the gym because we went at a time we wouldn't normally go to at all. And it was a really odd thing. And I said to her, did he message you to say he was at the gym with me? And she went, yep.
Yeah, nobody knew. Do we interact? Do we not? Yeah, it's interesting you say that, you know, because do you know, just before COVID, our average age was 56. So we at that time we did have a lot of older members, semi-retired, retired members, that sort of thing. But now I haven't actually done it in the last couple of months. I tend to do it every 3 months, just to see. That was down to 48. So that's a huge difference. And we have this conversation trying to work out why. Why is that? You know, this it is such a change, you know, over 10 years, isn't it? Difference. So yeah, you are right. We have definitely got some younger members now in comparison to a few years ago.
It's nice. You know, they're not all there posing and doing like the thing that you imagine and that you see on in gyms in the movies is not what actually happens in a gym.
No, not at all. It's quite often in the morning, we're all you know, we're all half asleep, one eye open, but we're there doing it. And then yeah, even in classes, again, you know, there is that kind of worry before you go to a new class. Will I know what I'm doing? You know, where will I stand? Will I be at the front? But as I say, once you're through that door and you give it a go, it's never as bad as you think.
When I
It's just,
first started coaching and doing my training, I decided to challenge myself to something that would put me completely out of my comfort zone, and that was Zumba.
oh, wow.
When Courtney did it, so it's
Oh,
quite a
yeah.
few years ago now. So I went into the Zumba class, and for me, it was pretty much my worst nightmare because it was Zumba, which required coordination, and it was quite high, kind of active. And my measurement for how good I was getting at Zumba was how red my face was by the end of it. I used to take photos of my face and also
To
how
see.
high my
Oh,
heart rate
geez.
went. And over the year that I did it, my heart rate really dropped consistently. So I think when people are going to the gym, they measure themselves about against, they think muscles, they think scales, they think like measurements. But for me, it was literally how red is your face at the end of the session, and how much has your heart rate come down across
Down,
as an
yeah.
average across the session for working out how fit I was.
That's really good, you know. I obviously I didn't know you'd done that, and that's really interesting, isn't it? It's interesting actually for me listening to how you've kind of gauged that. I think a lot, well, specifically since COVID, I think a lot of people's goals and interests of why they would use a gym have changed. I think yes, years ago it might have been like that, you know. They want to look a certain way, whereas now it's more they want to feel a certain way. They want to have that kind of internal health, and they want to see those results. You know, as you say, with the heart rate, that's really good. I mean, the face, the color of the face, I've not heard that one before.
No, I don't suppose many people, that was one of the reasons I hate PE, because my face would go so red it was ridiculous, like it looked like a tomato, and it was really
Oh, bless.
embarrassing as a kid and a teenager. It was all because it's impossible not to notice, and I think that's why I just really hated exercise.
It's funny, and I bet that still happens now, you know, as you say, you know, we're all so conscious at that age, aren't we? Whereas now in the gym, you know, you don't you, nobody's bothered, are they? You know, you could be as red as anything, you could be sweating, you can look very disheveled, but nobody really cares, do they? You know, we're all there to do the same thing. But yeah, as a teenage girl, that yeah, I can imagine how that felt.
So you mentioned personal training. Would you advise I think this puts people off as well. Would you advise having a personal trainer? Because I think it's a great thing to do, but I think the price of it often puts people off as well. So what's your, like, we obviously, you have personal trainers in the gym. We see them every day. They're always around. Again, very normal looking people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. So, personal training is expensive. It's a one-to-one service. It is kind of they're tailoring those sessions to you, but they're also educating you as well. So, I think that if you can afford just to, even if you just did a block of them, just to give you a bit of advice, and use those sessions to pick that trainer's brains, ask all the questions you can think of. And really get some pointers. I think they really are invaluable. But I think they are expensive. And another way of kind of getting around that is maybe to do a class or to even things now on Instagram, you can follow different trainers. Now I am aware there's a lot of the standard is very varied, so that is quite tricky. But anything that's going to give you that education so that actually when you go into the gym, you feel confident, you feel like you know what you're doing. I think it's definitely a worthwhile investment.
I would agree. The reason that part of the reason I've not done it is because I struggle with the consistency of exact timings, because we never know what's going to kick off at home. So, which is why I stopped doing classes and why I came to the gym, because it's so flexible. But we had a friend who, I don't know if you do you know Steve Whittle from Tough to Talk. He runs our charity that we support, Tough to Talk. Steve is an ex-Marine and ex-personal trainer. So we've done a lot of work for Tough to Talk as part of our charity. And he was like, right, I'm gonna help you in the gym. I'm gonna go over some
Perfect.
exercises, and so we did that this weekend. And we came away realizing that I am not lifting heavy enough weights. He was like, you should be knackered and you're not. Could you do another set of those? I'm like, yeah, I can do another set. And he's like,
Easy.
shouldn't be able to.
Yes, you need to be. Yeah, definitely.
And he talked about our form, how our bodies should be. So both me and Matt found it really helpful to have that positioning so that we can do these things safely. And I think that's the value of a personal trainer. And I wouldn't, for me, I wouldn't say they're expensive for what they do. It's just that if you're doing two or three sessions a week, obviously across that adds up. So it's more the adding up of those sessions. But I do really think that if you're not sure about a gym and weights and how to use things, the personal trainer can educate you and give you some, stop you from injuring yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't know if you can remember when we spoke a while back, and I said that we were, in terms of the cost of personal training, we were looking to kind of bridge a gap. So I think that if you can afford it and you can make that investment, I think having a block of sessions is the best thing to do. But we're also trying to bridge that gap between not having any direction, but also for those that cannot afford the personal training. So we're looking at to develop something at the gym at the minute where you're almost one of our personal trainers will kind of oversee your training. They'll give you some pointers. They'll get together with you at the start of a block, so they'll be able to show you exactly what to do. We're in like the early stages of it at the minute. We're just kind of working out how is that going to, how can we bring that into the member app, and how can we make it quite a seamless journey? But I'm quite excited for that, because quite often when I look around the gym, either when I'm training or later on throughout the day, I see, so like yourself, you can tell that you could do an extra set. You know, you could tell that actually you could put that weight up a little bit, but how do you know that you should do that unless somebody says, oh, by the way, Jenny, you know, do you think you could maybe add a little bit extra to that? How exerted do you feel? So we are looking at something like that at the minute. And I'm excited. We've never tried it before. But as I always say, you know, I'm never afraid at the gym to try something. If we try something and it fails, or we don't get the bookings for it or whatever, at least we've tried. Yeah. You know, and sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you try something and you think, oh, I'm not sure. You know, it might be somebody else's idea, and I think, do you know what? We'll give it a go, but I'm not sure it'll be successful. This, and then we do it, and it's really successful. And I think, blimey, you know. So, yeah,
and that's
so
a great mantra for life.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you've just got to try things, and if you fail, you fail. But at least you've tried. I'm a big advocate of that. You know, yeah. There's been numerous things we've done at the gym, and they've not worked. And at the spa, really, think the ideas that I've had that I've thought, you know what, we're onto something. This is a really good idea. We've tried it and it's not worked. And you think, well, at least you know now. Whereas if you don't try, you'll never know.
Which is your favourite idea that didn't work?
My favourite idea. So my favourite idea at the spa was to try and do some more dedicated days that are kind of based around holistic well-being, and you know, your yoga, your Pilates, to try and get the instructors involved from the gym across into the spa. So you'd arrive, you'd maybe have instead of having, in the winter we do like a hot chocolate welcome drink, instead of having that, you'd have something that's focused more around you know, the wellness. It might be like a smoothie or something like that, and then you'd do either some yoga, Tai Chi, Pilates, you know, those sort of kind of slower, less intense exercise. Then you'd have a lunch, and then we'd maybe get somebody in to do a talk in the afternoon on a certain thing. I was adamant. I thought this will absolutely fly. This will be, you know, but it didn't. And I think the reason it didn't was because at the spa, we try to keep the guest numbers low. That's kind of our selling point. We do charge a little bit more, but we can guarantee that you won't feel, we don't pack anyone inside like sardines.
No, not at all. It's lovely.
That's it. So in order to, we couldn't get the price right to, you know, to cover all the costs of that day. So we've kind of said, okay, we've tried it. We know that that's not suitable for us now. And then we've moved on. But I was adamant it was going to work.
Well, I love the concept of it. And I think it probably would, with the right price point, the right marketing, you know,
all of that stuff.
And it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And yeah, we did a bit of it. To be honest, we did actually try it in year one. And it didn't... It didn't take off, but what we have done with that idea is we've met with somebody locally, who, and I don't know how much we're talking about this at the minute, but we're actually working with somebody I think you may know actually, Jenny, yeah, you know, who's got the right contacts, who's really pushing their business down those lines. So we're looking to work in partnership with them, and I'm really excited about that. I think that think that the days that people will be able to attend will be, they'll be very, very different to anything else that's offered. I was going to say life changing, but I didn't know. I didn't know. That's a big statement to make, isn't
I like big
it?
statements. Let's go
Yeah.
bold. Yep, life changing.
Yeah.
So I have one question about the spa that me and Matt, like, we talk about this quite a lot in a bit of a dreamy kind of way. Usually after we do our gym session, we go swimming in the pool. It's not a big pool, but it's
No.
perfect. It's a nice
Yeah.
temperature. Like I can get my 30 lengths done. It's great. We go for a jacuzzi. And while we're swimming up and down this pool sometimes, particularly at Christmas, we're going, I wonder if Sig and her family use like the spa when nobody's here.
Very good question. So, I can probably count on one hand the number of times that I've actually used the spa. Yeah, I know. So, there is a funny-ish story. We were closed. I'm trying to think now. When did we close? Oh, it was on the day of the Queen's funeral. When a lot of businesses closed, obviously. So we closed on that day, and it was in the afternoon. And we went up. Tom had gone up to do some jobs while we were closed, and I took the children up. And at the time, I think Evie was about 18 months, and Harry was, I don't know, 5 or 6 or something. I can't remember. It was the most stressful visit to the spa ever, because I know if you can just think of two children, they were everywhere. Harry was, in and out the sauna, steam rooms. Evie, oh goodness. Yes, at the minute we don't get much time. I think because when the spa is actually closed, we tend to have the children with us, and it's not quite the relaxing experience that we're looking for, really.
With that, with all those hard surfaces and corners
Oh gosh, and then
and
there was
fire.
sticky fingers everywhere, and it was just So no, we've hardly used it, I don't really have a reason for that, other than, as I just said, when the when both businesses are closed, quite often Tom will be in doing a lot of maintenance jobs and things like that, and obviously I'll be at home with the children, so we just don't have time. So I'm hoping as they get older that will change.
Yes. Well, we have dreams and we want an invite when it happens of a private New Year's Eve party
Wow,
with the
yes.
gym open, like it's private guests only, have a swim in the lovely outside pool and
That
all the.
sounds good.
Oh, so me and Matt have our own fantasies about your spa.
Well, if we ever do one, I'll make sure you get an invite.
It is quite funny in the morning as we're swimming up and down the pool going, I wonder if they use it. So now we have the answer and
There you
it's
go.
disappointing, but I
Yes, it is,
believe.
isn't it? Well, as soon as you asked, I thought, yeah, it's not going to be what you think. Yeah.
As soon as the kids get to teenagers, they are going to be going, Mom, Dad, when are
They
we having a
will.
spa day?
They will, yeah.
What do you say to people who say they don't have time to exercise?
So this actually is, I'd say, not one of my biggest bugbears or whatever, but I think that everybody has time to exercise. It's how much of a priority you give it. So I would say I don't have time to exercise. What I do is I make time. So I get up at 20 past five. I'll do that 5 days a week. I'll be back, so I'll be at the gym for 6. I have to be home for 7:30 latest for our morning routine to work. So I think it's how much you want to do it. You don't need to be a member of a gym. You don't need to go to a gym. You can do it at home. We both, Tom and I, were really very busy. Obviously we've got two young children, but we find that time, and I think it's how much of a priority you make it, and how much effort you want to put in. But I am quite a disciplined person, and obviously I enjoy it, so I understand that it kind of comes a little bit more naturally to me. But it's in my diary, it's that non-negotiable. So I'm to the extent that I sometimes won't take an early meeting if it means that I can't go to the gym. And I think the reason for that is, as soon as you start to make those kind of compromises with it, it becomes very easy to make it or too easy. So yeah, I think we've all got time. It just depends how much effort you want to put into it.
Yeah, and I know if I don't go in the morning, it's not going to happen because I think, oh, I'll go in the afternoon. I did this yesterday. I'll go in the afternoon because we had an early meeting in Derby. I'll go in the afternoon, and then I never went. And all afternoon, I'm going, should go to the gym, should go to the gym, should go to the gym. But I just didn't. And it was that kind of, it was such a hard mental block to get past later on for me. I'd much rather get it out of the way in the morning and know it's done. And we do enjoy it when we get there. Matt's changed it into a must. He's like, this isn't a would like to do, or it's a must for us. We've also signed up to something called Warrior Camp in April in
Think I've heard
Spain.
of that. Yeah, go on.
Well, we don't actually know what it is, apart from they're going to test our mind, body, and spirit to its limits for 4 days. So
Oh, wow.
that creates a must for going to the gym as well.
Yeah, that'd be interesting now. You'd have to let me know what that's like.
I definitely will. I'll be doing a whole podcast about it, I'm sure, because it's going to be interesting. It was one of those we signed up to loads of courses, and they said, "Oh, and as a because you've bought all of the courses, here's this free thing," which of course is not free because you've got to pay for travel and everything. But and it sounds really cool and awesome, but I'm a bit like, okay, I need to be a bit fitter.
Well, you two can be the guinea pigs and we'll see how you get on.
I do think finding that kind of desire that you have, other than I want to get into this dress, which often, I mean, how many dresses have I got that I wanted to get in 2 years ago? I don't think that's often enough for people. It isn't, because so many people don't. They've got dresses hanging in the wardrobe that have been hanging there for 10 years that they still don't fit into, that was supposed to be a goal to fit into. So it's not enough. So what motivations do you think people can have instead of that dress or that, thing?
I think that once people start exercising, so maybe it's similar for yourself, but it's definitely for me, it's about how I feel, not only physically but mentally. So I feel like I'm a better person. I'm a better wife. I'm a better mum. I'm just a better all-round person if I've been to the gym. For me, it's never been about weight loss or wanting to look a certain way. For me, it's just how I feel. And I think that, when I mean, to be honest, I'm trying to think. I bet I've got some bits upstairs that I've thought, oh, that might fit one day. But it's never been about that. Like, yeah, for me, that's never been like that. I think I've noticed that when I haven't been to the gym, I'm less productive. I actually feel more tired, which is strange because I would have slept for longer. But I'm actually, yeah, I feel more tired, a bit more lethargic. So I think that, yeah, I think once you realise those changes, it just makes you as a person. I think the scales and the dresses and that, it doesn't matter as much.
How do you feel? Because you obviously employ a lot of people, so you are an employer and you've got a lot of people to manage. How have you found that transition of being like a gym goer and working in the gym to all of a sudden you're owning a gym and managing all these people?
So I think I probably have made every mistake you can possibly make throughout the time of doing it. So when we took over the gym, so yeah, it'll be 13 years this year. My parents were running children's day nurseries. That's kind of their background. So they had some in like kind of the surrounding areas, and they saw the gym as a good investment. So they kind of and then they knew that obviously I was personal training there. I was really keen, and they almost said, "Here you go, off you go," kind of thing. They were busy themselves anyway, so obviously they did give me a lot of guidance, and they were always there if I needed to ask them for advice or anything. But they kind of threw me in the deep end with it, and looking back now, I think, blimey, I don't think I realised like how in the deep end I was. And it's a huge transition. It's going from you almost there to be everybody's, when you're working with colleagues, you want to be everybody's friend, don't you? You want to, you've got that kind of relationship to then step up and actually manage. It's really tough. And I think that especially if you've been part of a team and then all of a sudden you are then managing, that is a really, really tricky relationships to kind of manage and that dynamic. But yeah, as I say, I've made all sorts of mistakes in the past. But I think you learn. This is what I always say. So we've got somebody who's managing the gym for us now, and they did their apprenticeship with us, and to be a personal trainer, and then they kind of once they'd finished that, they thought, you know what, I absolutely love the fitness industry, but I don't think I want to personal train. I think I want to go down the management route. And so I've kind of been mentoring her for a couple of years, and I've always said to her, don't worry about making mistakes, because we're all going to make mistakes. It's what you learn from that mistake, isn't it? And yeah, it's tricky, and I'm sure most people that have kind of had to step up will know it is hard. It's hard to negotiate, isn't it? Even now, sometimes, you know, at the gym it's a very small team. The spa is obviously a much bigger team, but we don't have a lot of involvement in the day-to-day management. So it's a little bit easier if in that respect. But with, I think the gym is my baby. It will always be my baby. So the team is a lot smaller as well. So again, a smaller team can almost be harder to manage than a bigger team.
Oh yeah, because
Yeah.
it's like a small dysfunctional family.
That's it. Yeah, that's what we used to call ourselves, this functional family at the gym. Yeah, that's it.
Remember that when I
Absolutely.
worked at the cinema, there was like six managers, me and a few other kind of people, and it was like a dysfunctional family.
That's it. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But aren't all fa families quite dysfunctional anyway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
On our other podcast, Leading Boldly, we interviewed a lady called Marion Parrish. I don't know if you know Marion, but she calls herself the accidental manager, which absolutely falls under
Yeah.
your remit. And she teaches, trains, and managers on who are kind of thrown in at the deep end in management. So it is such a common thing that people just
Thing,
get thrown
yeah.
in. And I think a real credit to yourself that you just ploughed on. As you always
Wow,
do.
that's it. Plow on, head down. And I think as well, things that I've done at the gym, think if you've got to have a bit of confidence in yourself. I think again that step up from being managed to then managing, obviously you've got to make some decisions, and when you've never made decisions before, it's very, very daunting. And you know, it's having that self-belief, isn't it, that actually no, I think this is the right decision, and then having the confidence with it. But yeah, accidental manager, that would definitely be that's definitely me as well. Definitely.
And you do a great job of it. And it's because you must have been quite young.
I was very young. So we took over the gym when I was 20. Yeah. So I was
Wow.
very young, very young. And again, I look back and I think, oh my goodness, you know. Obviously, it was a lot smaller then. We had a lot less members of staff. But yeah, I was young, wasn't I?
You were, and you've progressed the gym a lot. I mean, it's gone through quite a few kind of different. Well, we've just had a full changing room refurb.
Oh gosh, yeah. I'm glad to see the back of that one. Oh, blimey.
Isn't
God.
it? Because you know that when you send out emails saying your changing rooms are going to be closed for next week, 2 weeks, people are going to be pissed off. But because
Yeah.
Because you've created such a nice, like everybody does love you, and because you're so present there, people give you a lot of more leeway, I think, than if it was just a standard gym.
Yeah, I would agree. I think because I've been there as well for years, we've developed a lot of relationships, and we are lucky that we do retain our members really well. So I'll have known them for years, and I think that makes me quite approachable. So throughout the changing room refurbishment, touch wood, everything went to plan. We've still got a few little bits to do, but everything went to plan as such. There was a bits and bobs in the background that people wouldn't have known, but in terms of the member experience through it was relatively seamless. But because I was there a lot, I could answer those questions as well. So when you know, how many showers are we getting, what's this, what's that, we didn't try to commit to exactly the plan before we'd done it, because as with old buildings, as soon as you start, we did hit a few problems, a few structural problems and things like that, so things had to change. But yeah, I think the fact that I was there definitely helped. And then any technical questions I could also pass on to Tom. So that certainly helps when I was asked for questions on water pressure and things like this, things I didn't think members would ever ask me about, And we
The
got very
water
technical.
pressure is a big thing.
Yes.
And it was certainly mentioned in our household. Because we went, oh, I hope the water pressure doesn't change. And of course it has. It's not terrible, but it's not what it
No, it's
was.
not what it was. Yeah. And then
So
it
I
was.
think if it had never been that way, I don't think anybody would have really thought anything of it. You have, is that all through a water source, your water source
So
now?
the health club, no, that isn't, but the spa is. So the spa's got its own borehole, so all the water there is its own source. So that's because I think it was last year it was, we I don't I can't if you can remember, we something happened in the local area and the water was cut off, like in an emergency situation. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do at the spa? Well, we'd got like 30 guests in, what are we going to do? And then I remembered, it doesn't matter, they're not affected, so they were fine. Obviously the health club, yeah, that was affected. But yeah, so it's just the spa that's on it, got its own supply.
And you are sort of looking at being more sustainable and prioritizing that sort of thing within the spa area. How do you
Yeah.
find that? Because like it is a luxurious spa. It's beautiful. We love it. And it can be, I think it's a hard thing to do that and be sustainable.
Yeah, it is definitely. I mean, we try with the build, when we were in the design and build phase of the spa, we tried to, we got different kind of experts in from different areas to say, right, even from the build, this is what we can do to try and be more sustainable. And they would almost guide us to when we were open, this is like a scenario. We could maybe use this material, or we could do this instead. So that was really good. But even now, yeah, we are trying to be more sustainable. We are trying to really play on that, because I think that's the way the world's going anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
We all know we need to be more sustainable. But it's hard to make that manageable within businesses,
Yeah.
which is, last week I had a this is probably a bit of a boring story, but I had meeting with our waste collecting company, and we're looking now at how, just for example, we can now split down our recycling even more. Again, this is obviously a very minor area of the business, but it's kind of the manpower. How are we going to split that down? How are we going to, manage that going forwards? But I'm sure that these kind of schemes that we're trying to do at the minute, I'm sure they'll become the norm in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I think so too, and it'll just be expected.
Yeah.
So if we go back to the listeners who are at home going, oh, I'm still not going to a gym,
Yes.
what one thing do you think that they could do to start benefiting their own health?
I think that even if they didn't want to join a gym, they didn't feel like they didn't feel comfortable, or they couldn't afford that extra cost, I think that simple things, get up a little bit earlier in the morning and just go for a walk, half an hour. Just move your body a little bit more, and it might take a week, it might take 2 weeks, but if you're consistent with it, you will notice that difference in yourself. Whether it is a bit of weight loss, that might be somebody's goal, and that's great, or whether they just feel better within themselves, more productive, more, just more alert, that sort of thing. I think that yes, we own a gym, and obviously we need members, but that doesn't mean that somebody has to join a gym in order to get those same benefits. We just make it a bit more comfortable and a bit easier. We've got the equipment, we've got the swimming pool, it's a bit warmer, but actually go for a walk, it's completely free, it just takes your time, and if you haven't got the time at the minute, just get out that little bit earlier and just pop it into your day, and yeah, I think yeah, the benefits will definitely show.
Yeah, I agree. And there are so many times when I'm in the gym doing certain things that I think, oh, I could be doing this at home. Why am I doing it here?
Yeah.
Because I don't do it at home.
Home, that's it. Yeah.
Yes, I can do 100 squats at home. Quite right, I can.
Yeah.
But do I?
Yeah,
No.
there's no. I am exactly, honestly, I am exactly, so in lockdown, I know I keep referring to it though, I thought, oh my goodness, well, because obviously we didn't know, do we? None of us
Nope.
knew what we were going to be allowed to do, what we weren't going to be allowed to do. So I remember on the day when it was announced we had to close, obviously we had a lot of business things to sort out and to get our head around. But then I said to Tom, we need to take some equipment home, because at that point I didn't know if we'd be able to even come up to the gym ourselves. So we actually turned our kitchen into kind of like a little mini gym. And I remember now, our kitchen's not very big, but we made it work. And that's the only time I've ever exercised at home, because I am one of those people where I need to actually leave the house to do it. I do have some friends that they religiously exercise at home. They've got their dumbbells. They actually work with a personal trainer. So the personal trainer comes, gives them a plan to follow for 4 6 weeks. But yeah, if I said to myself, I'll do it at home later, it wouldn't happen.
No, you did really well at pivoting in lockdown, really well. Lots of things went online. So I did my Qigong classes every day online, which I really loved. And Pilates, but what I found, I was terrible. So I'd be doing Pilates on the floor and I'd be like, oh, the
Wow.
carpet needs
Yeah.
vacuuming. So I'd get up halfway through a Pilates move and vacuum the carpet. Whereas
That's
if you're in a class with a Pilates instructor, you cannot do that.
do that. No.
So there was always like little cut-offs that I'd go, oh, I'm a bit bored now. But you don't feel bored when you're in a
In a
class.
car.
And
No,
you
no.
also then when it was sort of opening up, you had that big teepee in
Oh
the
wow, yeah, the
yard.
teepee, yeah,
There was like this
wow, blimey,
massive teepee,
yeah.
and we used to go and exercise out there with our 2 meters distancing, and
Distancing, yeah, blimey.
crazy how like you managed to get through that. The resilience that you guys had, I think, was absolutely brilliant.
I look back now and I can still remember, I'm in the days leading up to the announcement. I look back now and I realise that I must have been in denial in them few days. I remember that a few of the staff kept saying that we'll be closed, this industry, everything's gonna. I kept thinking, no, that won't happen, And I remember the day of the closure, and then and you and as a lot of business owners were, as most people in the world were, well, what do we do now? What do we do? And I remember the suggestion then of, well, why don't we go online? And if you'd have said to me 6 months before lockdown, try some online classes, I'd have said nobody would do an online class. I would have been very opinionated. I would have said that's ridiculous. But those online classes we actually continued for quite a while after we'd reopened. And I'm actually pretty confident that if I was to say, so at the minute we've got some classes that are quite popular. And if we actually set that up so that you could almost do it at home, I think it would actually work. I think people
Yeah,
would do it.
I do too.
But like years ago, I wouldn't even have considered that. So yeah, lockdown taught us a lot, didn't it? But oh, I remember that, the online classes and the TP, and then learning how to use Zoom, or blimey, what a learning curve.
And it rained quite a lot on various occasions, didn't it?
Oh.
Where it would wash through the teepee.
Wash through the teepee, snow. I remember we had like a bad spell of snow, and I remember Tom in the middle of the night, because we've got on our phone we can access the cameras up there, and he's watching the snow, and at about 2 o'clock in the morning he said, no, I'm gonna have to go up. So he's up there, pushing the snow off with his brush, and oh blimey, the teepee saved us, but it caused us a lot of sleepless nights. Yeah.
So the people out there that think running a beautiful spa and gym is a glamorous life.
Oh, it's no. You've got to love it. I think whatever you do, you've got to love. But it's definitely in the fitness industry, it's antisocial hours. It's hard. Last weekend, Tom and I, I'd seen some jobs that needed to be done, and I said, and we arranged babysitters so that not so we could go for dinner or have some drinks and have a good time. We actually went. We spent about 3 hours in the pool area, doing various jobs that were bugging me. And Tom actually said to me, he said, "You do realise we're wasting babysitting opportunity for this." But
And I bet you didn't even have a bloody swim.
no, we didn't. We didn't. No, honestly, we didn't. Yeah, it's funny. Now I'm going to say this later when I see him. I'm going to say, "Do you know what? We don't do it, do we?"
No,
But
you
yeah.
did change the
Oh
battery in
dear.
the clock, though. I was very pleased by that.
Oh, it does make me laugh, you know, because think one of the things about being in my position, definitely at the gym, is you. I see loads of things, loads of little things that do bug me, and I get that sorted. But sometimes, do you know, like if a light's gone out, I won't notice it straight away. I'll notice it at some point, but not straight away. And then we'll change the bulb, and then a member will say, "I've been counting, I've been monitoring it. How long it's taken you to do that?" You know, it makes me laugh.
Well, I kept thinking I must tell them that the clock battery's out because they
Clock,
won't
yeah.
see it. Because I
No,
see it
we
when I'm
never look
swimming,
up
but
at
you won't
that.
see it. And every day I'd
Never
walk out because
forget.
forget. But
Yeah.
I know that it's the sort of thing that you don't see. So, listeners, if you're thinking about joining a gym and you're thinking that the gym owner is there all buffed up and having this glamorous life,
It's not what it is.
it's not the case. But if you can find the right gym, it can be so embracing. And like the community in that place, I think is brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. I think that you know, the members kind of make it, you know, the atmosphere. Having the cafe now next door has been huge. You know, members, they can come, they can do a class, they can have a swim, whatever, then they can go round next door. And sometimes I'll walk through, maybe I'll walk through an hour later and they're still there, you know. But that's great, and that's what it's about, isn't it? And I think as well that the good thing about joining a gym is it kind of holds you accountable. So, you know, your friends all know you're going, you know, the instructor knows if you're a regular. Like with yourself, I would notice if you hadn't been for a week, I'd probably message you and say, "I'm not, yeah, everything okay?" So it's that accountability, definitely.
Usually the answer to that will be no, something
Yeah.
else has happened.
Happened. Yeah. Oh
Chaos
dear.
has ensued.
Yeah.
I know I had flu before Christmas, so I didn't make it all the way up to Christmas. I was just so poorly. And I just thought it doesn't feel good when you don't go. And so the first time I would say I probably set foot in the gym as a class goer, I was 37.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it must have
That's actually,
been
yeah.
around 30, yeah, 37, 38.
Do you know what, though? It isn't uncommon. You know, sometimes we'll have someone come to the gym. When they arrive for a tour, you can kind of tell if they're a bit nervous, if they've not been a member of a gym before. And it's not uncommon. You know, we have had people of all ages, really, that have said, "Right, you know, now," in fact, actually, common one is they've retired. So they might be, I don't know, mid-50s, 60s, and they say, "Right, now's time for me." And I'll say, "Oh, have you been a member of a gym before? Have you used a gym?" And they'll say, "No, never." And that's interesting, isn't it? You know, when they say, "Now's my time. Now, you know, it's yeah, time for
God,
me."
if you'd told me 15 years ago that my dad would be going to Pilates classes 3 times a week, I would have absolutely wet myself laughing. Like it was just not at all. And what you probably don't know about my dad, Sig, was that before we moved here, like maybe a year or two before we moved here, he lost about 55 pounds
Oh,
in weight. Yeah. So
wow.
he was pretty big. And just I know that the touch points for him of coming, being in his 70s now, he broke his leg on do you remember on Boxing Day about
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago now? And I really think that his classes that he comes to really and having good core stability helped him have rehabilitation much quicker and helped him get back on his feet as a man in his mid-70s. And I think if he hadn't been at the gym for all of the last 5 years, 6 years, however long he's been there now. In fact, I think they've been here since he moved, so it's maybe about 8 years. But I think if he hadn't done that, he would have been that older person who would have struggled to get back on his feet again, that would have
Definitely.
put on weight again, that wouldn't have, like, he goes back now. He's really fit for his age. And we see
Yeah, he
people in
is,
the
yeah.
gym who have had operations and things, and they come back and because they can, because they're strong.
Yeah, definitely. I speak to people all throughout the year that are maybe having to have an operations, maybe having a knee replacement, you know, just all sorts of things like that. And their how they rehab and how they do bounce back, it's unbelievable, really, with some of them. But that is because they've got that base level of fitness, and as you say, that core stability, and they've already given themselves good cushion to work on. But no, I didn't know that your dad had lost that weight. I mean, if you look at him now, I mean, you can tell he's a fit, can't you? You know, you can tell.
It's really funny because, of course, everybody that knew him before would message me saying, "Is your dad ill? Like, is there something
Oh, really?
wrong?
Because he lost.
If he's
Wow.
like he looks not right. He looks ill." And I was like, "No, you just need to get used to it." Whereas
Did
you've
you think
never
that then?
known him bigger, so
No.
for you, he just looks completely normal.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. No, I can't imagine him, actually. That's
I'll
interesting.
send you a picture later.
Yes, yeah.
Gyms like yours around, do you collaborate with gyms like yourself? Because I know you sort of looked at other gyms and kind of go, "Oh yeah, I like what they do. We might try that." But are there other sort of small family run gyms that people could go
Yeah.
to?
Yeah, so in our local area, I would probably, I'm just thinking, I'd probably say there's nothing massively
I
locally
mean more wider scale.
wide scale. Yeah, so wide scale, what I've done is I've through LinkedIn or just through talking to suppliers, you know, and when they've said, oh, there's a club that's a bit like you and it's based wherever, I've kind of reached out to their owner. And we'll have some good conversations, and that's been really, really good. So you know, again, if actually we've had a few members that have moved away. So I've then kind of said, actually, there's a gym here that's probably similar. I can kind of point them in the right direction. But speaking to other owners or other managers of other clubs that are similar, that's been really good actually, just to share some ideas and ask for a bit of advice really in this scenario. Is anything, you know, has anything happened? Any positives, negatives? So that's been good.
Yeah, because our listeners are from all across the country. In fact, across the world, I've got listeners from all over the world, which is quite nice.
Wow.
You see the odd one pop up from all over the place. And so they might be thinking, "Oh, there's nothing like this around me," but maybe there is, and they just don't know it yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are very lucky that we don't have to do any advertising, so we don't really make a big song and dance about ourselves. So there might be clubs exactly like us elsewhere that, you know, for us it's all word of mouth. You know, have you heard about Breeden? Or come down and have a look. And that's been our motto all the way through. I bet there will be other clubs very, very similar to us. Yeah, as you said, all over the country, maybe all over the world.
And I think asking on your local Facebook groups and stuff is a really good place to go, because if anybody moves into our area and says, "Is there a gym?" it'll be Breeden, 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 Breeden,
Yeah.
Breeden,
Yeah.
Breeden, and a
Yeah.
few others thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But on the whole, I think people that are invested in their gym and welcoming to other people will comment on those posts and say, "Yeah, you've got to try here because it's really good."
Yeah, and that's been, yeah, that's, I think that all comes again down to that like community feeling, doesn't it? I very, very rarely will comment anything. But I always see like members will recommend us, and that's really nice because you kind of think, oh, we must be doing something right.
Yeah, and I do, like I always put my video of every spa day I ever come on, and then I think, "Oh, I hope nobody books because I want to be able to keep booking."
Keep booking the quiet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I
Selfishly, I mean, it's never quiet when we go, but selfishly, I don't want it to be fully booked when I want to go.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, you need to enjoy yourself.
Because when we booked for mum and well, we booked for ourselves in November to come last week, and I'd literally pressed book, and then I was like, "Oh, should have invited mum and dad." So I immediately went and booked them on as well. So the four of us all went, and it's a lovely way to spend time with mum and dad without the pressures of the kids and like the house and all the stuff that goes on in daily life, and just kind of chill out, and we can actually have conversations.
Yeah, definitely. We it's interesting seeing the different kind of categories of people that arrive. Obviously, you get partners, you get friends that will meet at the spa for the day. So because quite often it happens to me as well. Quite often, just meeting for dinner's not long enough. You've got too much to catch up on, and so a spa day is great for that. But what's also really interesting at the spa is we do get a lot of people who will put themselves in for the day, and I actually mentioned this to some friends, and they said, "Oh, they go by themselves." And I said, "Yeah," I said, and they said, "Is it not? It, did you know, do they look comfortable?" I said, "Yeah," I said, "it," and you can tell that they are really enjoying themselves. They'll take a book, and I mean, it's something that I would do definitely. You know, just to have that headspace, just to think, you know, nobody needs you for a minute. You know, you've got a book. You can have something to eat. You can just relax. So yeah, that's interesting. We do get a lot of people who will go by themselves as well.
Every time I've been, there's been somebody on their own. There's often been work colleagues who have sort of got, like, the girly colleagues, and they've got together. Quite often mums and daughters. I took my daughter for her 16th birthday because that was the youngest you're allowed to be for the gym. So I took her for her birthday. So she loved it. And I really, Matt said the other day, I can't remember how it started, but he said, "Oh, but you just like to talk to everybody when you're at the gym." So I'm probably slightly annoying because I'll be the one in the pool having a chat and finding out
Chat.
everybody's life stories. He's like,
I love that though. I'm a
"I want
talker.
to
I love
relax."
that. Yeah. I love that.
I'm always, "Where are you from then?
That's me.
How far are you?" And it was a lovely couple the last week. And they had a 3-month-old baby and an 18-month-old, and they'd had a babysitter for the day. And
Oh, wow. What a treat.
they were really enjoying themselves. I just love watching all those people and, seeing their kind of how they relax. Lots of people in the sleep room this time. We were all having sleeps.
Interesting. I think that this time of year, I don't know if you felt the same. I do feel more tired at the minute, so I can see why that room's popular.
Yes, lots of people sleeping on their spa day. It was great. Well, I am very conscious of your time because I know how busy you are. But we have one last question, and it's a big question that I ask everybody at the end of every podcast. So it'll be here as a Christmas special at the end of the year compilation. What day in your life would you go back to and relive it exactly as it was?
So thinking about it, and I've listened to some of your other podcasts. So I was chatting to Tom about this, thinking, I wonder what I would say. Now, I don't know if I can narrow it down to a specific day, but and it might be a bit controversial actually, but do you know the whole experience through with the pandemic and through lockdown? Obviously, I wouldn't want to go through that again with everything that happened, but the experience that I had personally was huge. So although there was a lot of like really obviously negative things happening, I felt like at the start of that journey, when everything was closed and we none of us knew what to do, I was probably at a really low point. But throughout that kind of period of time, 6, 12 months, I think that I as a person, everything that we went through just changed me as a wife, changed me as a mum. You know, I absolutely love my children to bits, but if you were to say to me, you need to spend 24 hours with them 7 days a week, that's quite a difference to our, So yeah, and actually, it gave us that opportunity. I look back, and we had probably some of our best times in during that period of time. We would do things like we would. I mean, it may be if I had to narrow it down to a specific date in terms of just for my personal, like me personally, we'd go up to the, because we've obviously got a lot of land up at the gym and spa, and we'd go up there. We'd drive up there. We'd just spend the day there. And the things we'd do, we'd because the spa and gym, it's on an old golf course. We'd go searching for golf balls with my son. So at the time, he must have been maybe 3. Yeah, that whole process of navigating things for the business, can we survive financially? What are we going to do? You know, are we going to be able to keep Are we going to still going to have a staff team at the end of it? All that sort of thing. To also navigating things personally, how are we going to make sure the rest of the family's okay? Obviously, with like grandparents and all things like that. So, I think that it is really hard for me to narrow it down to a day. But I think that if I had to relive something exactly how it was, I would go through everything that we went through in that period of time, because the lessons we learned and how we went in and how we came out. Is it's we were so different, and yeah, does that answer your question? Is that
Yeah,
a good
no,
answer?
it's really brilliant answer. And what I love about asking the same question of everybody for a whole year is the variety of answers. And I'm surprised every time. And then I'm surprised that I'm surprised every time. And
It's a
I'm a
good
bit like
question.
you. I found that the whole pandemic, I know there were lots and lots of people really suffering, and massively. But for me, it was a massive time of growth and change and
Growth, yeah,
resilience
definitely.
and pivot and, working stuff out. So I think I'm alongside you. For me, it was a really powerful moment in time. And actually, we're here now, 4 years later, 5 years later, going, oh my goodness, how did we live through all of that?
Absolutely. How did we live through all that? And I think that there were so many lessons to learn through that period of time, personally at home, obviously Tom and I work together, but we're not with each other all the time, so going through that, how are we going to look after a child and sort out what on earth to do with the business and all sorts of things like that. And there were some days that were really, really tough, and but I'd do it again exactly. Go through that process exactly the same, because we wouldn't have learned the lessons that we've learned and we wouldn't be where we are now.
Yeah.
You've got to go through those difficult periods of time
You
and
do.
think, yeah, and sometimes with you think, I don't know, I don't we can't go on. What are we actually going to do? But it was almost, as you said, it was a huge time for like that personal development and growth. And I look back now and I think, actually, that experience is why we are where we are now. So yeah, hard to do a day, but I think that that period of time, I'd go through everything exactly the same.
Brilliant. I went through a breakup in lockdown, and I think, if I hadn't have done that, and it was terrible, but if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be with Matt now.
And that is always, I always say this, I know that some people don't like that saying, everything happens for a reason, but everything does happen for a reason, I think. And even if we don't like it at the time, when some of my friends have been through breakups, or if they're going through a really tough part of their life, I do always say, you've got to think, don't think about today, in 6 months' time, think about how you're going to feel then. And everything always makes sense, doesn't it, in the long run?
Well, some things. I shouldn't really talk about politics, but I'm not sure Trump makes that much sense.
Hello. Yeah,
We're in a week where things have not made ultimate
much
sense.
sense. No.
We get the
Oh,
gist.
dear.
Right then, listeners, I hope you enjoyed listening to all of that and took some stuff away about resilience and pivoting and being thrown in the deep end when you're 20 years old, going to the gym. Getting yourself there and doing the small exercises, building it up from when I started on the some of the machines that I went to, I started on 5K, kg, 10 kg, and some of them I'm now on 35 and 40 and above,
Wow.
in a year. So it's not always about starting off on those big ones. And I used to dread getting that little pin and taking it out of the bottom where the
Yeah.
last man had been and sticking it right at the top and going, oh, I used to feel
Yeah.
it was so mortifying. But nobody noticed. Nobody cares what I'm doing because they're all
That's
interested in
it.
themselves and their own fitness. So,
Yeah.
as I always say, have a powerful day, whatever having a powerful day means to you. And if that means getting off your backside and getting to the gym, go and do that.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Sig, for being here.
Thank you.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes. I hope you get a lot out of the podcast and from listening to it, but please do not use it as a replacement for a professional psychotherapist or GP. If you need some professional help, please go and seek that. Do not use this podcast as an alternative to that. If you need a coach, you know where I am. If you need a coach in a different area of your life that I don't support, then please go and find them. There are many great coaches out there. Make sure that they are accredited coaches with proper training.